Today's show is brought to you by Grammarly, an intelligent writing app that works as your own personal editor. Download Grammarly's browser extension and create a free account at getgrammarly.com/cinemarecall. This podcast is a proud member of the Let's Chat Club. Find out how you can become a member by going to the website letschatpodcast.net. This podcast may contain adult language, adult situations, spoilers, and some brief nudity, so parental guidance is adjusted.
We have such sights to show you.
After about 5 minutes of this movie, you're gonna wish you had 10 beers.
I'm such.
And?
And there are many gifts in the world and many Toms as well, but I am Sancho.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Listen, Walter.
Listen, I made a great reporter out of you, Hildy, but you won't be half as good on any other paper, and you know it. We're a team. That's what we are. You need me, and I need you, and the paper needs
all of Americans.
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Oh, well. La-di-da, la-di-da, la-la, yeah.
Welcome back to the Cinema Recall Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Cinema Recall Podcast. I'm your host, The Vern, and we are continuing our seventh season. I've had wonderful feedback with our last episodes. Last episode, we had Curtis on from the Half Hour Bros Podcast talking about Catch Me If You Can. We did her very bad impressions of Christopher Walken. But joining me for this new episode, and we're going to test our action talents later on, I brought back on with me a woman who actually is a professional actor, Jeanette Miller-Mickenham. Hello, Jeanette.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Yes, listeners will recognize Jeanette for being Barbara in our Night of the Living Dead audio drama series. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
She also was on episodes talking with us about Showgirls 2, as well as our Femme Fatale February series talking about Sea of Love and Black Widow, another great one as well. She's been a wonderful, and I'm so happy to have her back on the show with us. How have you been?
Well, I've been busy, but it's been crazy busy, but not in a super creative way, so I'm really excited to be here. The only creative outlet I have right now that I'm working on is I do this weird little daily devotional on my Instagram, and where I read the devotional and then I give my quick take on the day. The book was a gift to me, and so I started it, and then people were like responding to it, like, hey, this is really cool, thank you, that really spoke to me. So now I'm like, okay, crumb cakes, now I have to do it every day. And so I'm like 15 weeks into it, but I'm super excited to be here because I really want to get back into doing more film related creative stuff. And so I'm really hoping that this is the catalyst for getting me back in business.
Thank you
so much for having me on today.
Well, thank you. I like knowing that our show has become a little spark for you, as well as for your Instagram inspirational posts. Tell listeners where they can find that at.
Oh, okay. Instagram, I am under, let's see, what's my name? I think it's J.M. Mickenham.
Okay.
Well, on Instagram. And I think, I think that's what my handle is.
I will definitely post links to it during our show notes as well, so listeners can find out where to find that and see more inspirational posts.
Now, and then they can be guided in their life with my craziness.
We need guidance, okay? Even with craziness, we all need a little guidance. I need a little guidance at times. Get myself a little balanced in a way.
Yeah, okay.
So the episode that we are going to be doing this on is Legally Blonde. That is the movie that Jeanette has picked. And
oh my gosh.
Just really quickly, just general thoughts. Legally Blonde, when did you first see it?
I think I saw Legally Blonde kind of, I think when it first came out.
All right.
And – I think when it first came out.
Nice. And what were your kind of general thoughts of it when you first saw the movie? Were you expecting one thing and then got another thing? I mean, what did you generally thought of it?
I was pleasantly surprised by Legally Blonde because I thought it was going to be just kind of like, I thought it was going to be silly and just kind of, I don't want to say throwaway film, but just like one of those comfort films, like you can throw on, you can have it on in the background anytime.
Sure.
Like A Christmas Story or whatever. One of those, you know, just, you know, good movies, but it was actually so much fun. I walked away from it feeling like Elle Woods had gotten into the cells of my body, and I was like, okay, I wanted to wear pink. I wanted to. It totally changed so much. Perspective at the time. I wanted to be more girly. I mean, she's kind of like the perfect package in a way. She's smart. She's underestimated. She's beautiful. She has an awesome attitude. I loved how her character really broke a lot of stereotypes of what would be considered dumb blonde or sure. whatever. But even just in the way that she genuinely treated people and encouraged people. And so, I mean, I love that movie. And I quote this scene, my daughter and I especially, at Amoeba. And she, Rebecca and I, we quote this scene on the regular. I mean,
yes, we're going to get into our scene later on with this right now. I'm not going to tell listeners what it is just right now. But yes, me and Jeanette are going to perform a scene from Legally Blonde later on. What I appreciate the most about this movie, Jeanette, is that how it sort of subverts your expectations. Because when I saw this movie, usually whenever there's a movie with this type of character, you know, the blonde, she seems kind of like airheaded, she's usually the villain. And you got this because in this movie, Reese Witherspoon plays this girl who's all about like fashion and boys, and she seems like the typical dumb blonde character. She has this boyfriend that she really loves, but the boyfriend doesn't want to marry her. She's thinking that she's been on dates with this guy for like a long time. He takes her out to dinner. She's thinking that, you know, he's going to pop the question. He doesn't. She just tells her that, you know, I like spending time with you. You're, you know, great fun, but I got to be with someone who's a little bit more serious than you. And to get back at him, she decides to apply and go to Harvard Law School. And
like it's hard. Yes.
Yeah. And through the course of the movie, she turns out to be, you know, someone who is actually a good lawyer. And this was based on the book, and I'm looking up the name right now, Amanda Brown, who actually did go to law school and sort of subverted expectations because she was that sort of girly girl blonde. And I love the fact, too, that you have, like, Selma Blair, who in other movies, she would be the protagonist, and Reese Witherspoon's character would be seen as, like, the mean girl, blonde, but that's not the way at all.
Yeah.
And I love the way that Elle is nice to everyone. She's not hateful of any people. She's not snobby. She just likes what she likes, and she just likes pink and fashion and dogs and talking about guys, and they're just, that's nothing wrong, that's just who she is, and she's not a hateful person at all.
She's very privileged, obviously. We see her family in their big mansion, but you're right, she's not snobby. She doesn't, you know, even in the even when they're shopping for her her dress for the big night or the big dinner date, and the sales lady tries to pull one over on her. She cuts her down to the quick, but she doesn't, it's not in a necessarily a mean way. So she really knows her stuff.
That's what it is, too, because the sales clerk is trying to sell her, like, an off-brand for a higher price or something. And Elle picks up on it right away, and she goes, well, no, this dress should not be at this price. You're trying to pull one over on me to make more money. But, yeah, she doesn't actually talk down to her. She just says, hey, look, I'm smarter than who you think I am.
Right.
And
exactly.
I also love the sequence, too, when there's a person on her law team who's kind of like shy and nervous, a little awkward, and she actually just gives them, you know, a great sort of boost by telling colleagues of his, like, hey, how dare you break my heart? And kind of like,
I know,
play him
I
off.
Love that scene so much. She totally, when she like slaps him after he gets. Yeah, he gets turned down by those two snobby girls, and then she walks up and slaps him, and he's like, okay, sorry. I mean, he totally plays along.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I love that scene, and I was like, oh, she's, like, the best ever.
I mean, she would be, like, a really good, awesome, she would be, like, a really good, like, wingman.
Yes. She's the perfect wingman.
For, you know, if I was, you know, trying to, like, you know, meet girls right there, bring Elle Woods with you because she would totally be your best friend. She, like, boosts you up, your confidence and everything like that.
Yes!
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I want to get more into the scene that you picked, but I'm going to take a little break right now. We're going to play just a quick trailer from Legally Blonde, and then we'll get into your thoughts about the scene, okay?
Okay.
At Harvard Law School,
we got a PhD from Berkeley.
The best,
first in the class from Princeton,
and the brightest will meet.
Me!
The blondest.
I'm going to Harvard.
Let's all go.
This summer,
you got into Harvard Law.
What? Like it's hard?
The old school.
Totally look the part.
Is getting a makeover.
Do you have a resume? It's pink.
And it's Senate. I think it gives it a little something extra.
Reese Witherspoon is
Elle Woods, attorney.
Legally Blonde, rated PG-13. Now playing at theaters everywhere.
Okay, so the scene that you picked today from Legally Blonde is at the end of the movie. So listeners, if you have not seen Legally Blonde, there are going to be some spoilers towards the end. But even if you know this spoiler, it does not ruin the movie for you. At least I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
All right. So we're at the very end. So basically, there is a court case in the movie involving this lady named Brooke. She's charged for the murder of her husband. And Brooke, played by, I think it's Ali Larter, has like this series of like exercise books. And she's basically a role model for Elle because she's done all the steps on fashion and tips. And she's in the news a lot because she married an older man. And she's now been accused of his murder. And we're at the sequence now where Elle is questioning one of the older man's kids, a woman by the name of Shutney. And so I just want to ask you, Jeanette, what is it about the scene that holds up for you? You said that you were saying dialogue from this with your daughter, so I'm just kind of curious what from this makes it stand out?
Well, there's so many things. This is a turning point. Elle has to really prove herself because she's done all these things to help Brooke figure out, you know, investigative type things. And Brooke decides to fire her attorney and have Elle represent her because she totally, she understands Brooke. Elle has never done this before. And so this is really, she's doing her best, but she's really, this is the scene that catapults her from, being confident or almost faking it till you make it. So she, at this point, she's doing all of the things, but it isn't until everything comes full circle. So all her knowledge about fashion and, you know, beauty and all of these things. And then everything she's learned in her law school classes and all the things that she's learned investigating and talking to Brooke, everything now clicks into place. So throughout the film, she's kind of practicing with these little scenes along the way. And there are some wonderful scenes throughout, but here is where everything really clicks. Most everyone has, you have the one camp that's completely faithful and believes that she can do it. And then you have the camp that is totally underestimating her and doesn't believe that she can do it. And even she surprises herself, because as everything really just clicks together, she surprises herself. Beyond that, the writing is so good, because there's a repetition, but it's like it's playing out how it would So if you were trying to solve a problem, you would be solving this problem like in your mind or talking to yourself. But she's like working out. She was like working this out loud in the courtroom. And then it clicks for her, and then it blows everything wide open. So the writing, I think, is just so superb. And the timing of the scene and the way that they bring it to life, I love it so much.
What I love too is that she's able to sort of like solve the case from just stuff she just knows from her daily life too. Because here's the thing too, even before the scene, even her lawyer team, the people who are defending her, are just trying to get a plea deal, like have her plead guilty. You know, we'll try to give her like a lower sentence or something like that. Even her own team doesn't believe in Brooke the way that Elle does. And, you know, and she's failing a lot of this. When she's questioning Chutney at the beginning of the scene, she's sort of like failing at the start, because each question she asks her, you know, Chutney has a response, and even the judge is getting frustrated. And it seems that, like, Elle is up against the wall. And then all it does just takes a notion about a shower. And suddenly in Elle's mind, it just, like, clicks on and says, wait a minute here. You had a perm and you took a shower? Something does not seem right here. And she's able to take that and just go with it. And I think it's a very, very absolutely epic good scene. Now, I know...
Yeah, even in the movie, though, the two girls that her sorority girlfriends, they're like, I know the answer, you know, so even they know the answer.
Yeah. And I know our listeners would probably be thinking, why aren't you doing the whole bend and snap scene with Jennifer Coolidge? Well, folks, we can't. This is an audio podcast. We can't.
It's not YouTube. It's audio.
You can't actually hear the bend and snap. But right now, we're actually doing this right now at our homes. You can't actually see it, but right now we're doing the bend and snap. So there it is. You just heard it. We did it. Jeanette actually just killed it more than I can, because I've got a bad back and I just can't do that stuff anymore. But no, I do agree. It's a great sequence. Because I remember the first time I watched the movie, I kind of thought that Brooke was the killer, or at least wanted to marry this guy just for his money, that type of thing. Because I've seen that trope done in movies before. Mm-hmm. And I thought the movie at first, when I first saw it, that Elle had such a respect for this woman, Brooke. And maybe she would have saw her as a different person. Like, maybe Elle would have said, you know, I need to be my own person. I gotta stop, you know, worshiping these other people, and I gotta be my own person. And she learns to love herself more through that situation. I'm not sure, but I loved how it went through in the sequence. So if you've never seen the movie before, folks, I apologize, because it is actually a lot of fun. It's a chick flick in a way, but it's a really well written chick flick.
I
hate to use that word, chick flick, but it's good. It's really good. Like,
yes.
A,
It's iconic. Yeah, it's good. It stands the test of time. I think it ages well.
Yeah.
You can't say anything. I can't really say anything. I mean, if I did have anything negative, it would just be nitpicking minor things that don't really matter. So
exactly, and like I said before, it's a virtue of expectations because mm-hmm. in using movies like this, the other sort of like people in her school with the Selma Blair character sort of like mocking her, they would have been seen as like the protagonist and Elle mm-hmm. as like the villain. And I like the way that those roles are switched around. I even love the fact, too, that the character that Selma Blair plays isn't the mm-hmm. villain for long. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that even her...
She comes around.
Yeah, I think it was like Vivian, her and Elle mm-hmm. have an understanding and they become friends later on, which is absolutely just a perfect thing. Yeah. So I loved it. Loved all the actors in this. I thought Luke Wilson did a good job as a love interest in this one. I mentioned Jennifer Coolidge before. I mentioned mm-hmm. Selma Blair. Now, I do know that this was not the first movie I saw Reese Witherspoon in. That would have been Freeway.
Okay, yeah.
Which is a total different performance than Legally Blonde. So I think if you want to have a good Reese Witherspoon double feature. Because I think I saw Freeway... then Legally Blonde, then American Psycho around the same times.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And so you probably didn't see Fear?
Oh, yes.
With Mark Wahlberg?
I totally forgot she was in that. Yes, I did see Fear. But
That is quite the film. It's got some very risque moments in that. That one.
I don't know why, but her performance in that one didn't affect me as much as her roles in Freeway. And then this.
No. Yeah, it wouldn't. But I just recall the roller coaster, very risque roller coaster scene.
Yes.
Yes. For a young Reese Witherspoon, that was... That's more of a Mark Wahlberg
vehicle. A lot of, like,
vehicle.
Hands-on activities. In a roller coaster.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Very much so. You know, and all right. So we're going to take a small break right now. I got to play some ads from some amazing podcast shows. And then we'll be back with our acting performances.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hello, Meat Popsicles. Why don't you grab your multipass, a drink, and come sit with us?
Let's pick each other's brain. We want you to be part of our intimate conversation about science fiction topics.
Let's do this. Join us, and let's talk about science fiction topics in books, movies, TV shows, and games.
At Science Fiction Remnant, you are invited to listen in.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And don't forget your multipass.
It's time to feel the rage. Join us on Film Rage, where we talk movies, current releases, coming attractions, streaming, and classic films as well. Directors and actors, beware as you cannot hide from the rage. My name is Bryce, and I'm part of the Film Rage crew, which also includes Jim.
Hey, hey.
And Murray.
Yo.
Why is it you always talk all the time? I can't understand why your voice is something.
This is the Merman, the voice of reason. These two can't agree on anything most of the time. Some movies are Mondo, some are just soft. Every week something is going to make us rage. Join us every Wednesday and
feel the rage.
For being a listener of Cinema Recall, Grammarly is offering a free download of their software. If you host a website or podcast, it's really important that your followers and subscribers understand everything that you want to communicate with them. With Grammarly, you can have your own personal editor who not only does spell checks, but makes sure the tone of the piece is what you want. Get your free download by visiting getgrammarly.com/cinemarecall. All right, everyone. We're back with Cinema Recall Podcast Players Presents. We're actually now at out a scene from Legally Blonde. And I got my notes right here on whose roles people are taken. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, the role of Elle Woods, D.A. Joyce Rafferty, and the judge is the one and only Jeanette Millen-Bakenham. Woohoo! Yay! Clap, 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 applause. And then I, the Vern, I'm going to take the roles of Chutney, Emmett, Brooke, and Gerard. And I'm going to do my best to do different type of voices with this.
Me too.
This is going to be... Okay. So I'm just pulling up my script right now. All right. Are you ready?
I am ready.
And I'm going to just call action in 3, 2, 1, okay?
All right.
Lights. Camera. Action.
Miss Wyndham, when you arrived back at the house, was your father there?
Not that I saw, but like I said, I went straight upstairs to take a shower.
And when you came downstairs, what happened?
I saw Brooke standing over his body, drenched in his blood.
But Mrs. Wyndham didn't have a gun.
No, she stashed it by then.
Move to strike that from the record, Your Honor. Speculation.
Stricken. Did you hear a shot fired?
No, I was in the shower.
So, at some point in the 20 minutes you were in the shower, your father was shot?
I guess.
So your father was shot while you were in the shower?
What's going on here with this?
Have a little faith.
But you didn't hear the shot because you were in the shower.
Yes, I was washing my hair.
Miss Wyndham, can you tell us what you'd been doing earlier in the day?
I got up, went to Starbucks, went to the gym, got a perm, and came home.
Where you got in the shower?
Yes.
I believe the witness has made it clear that she was in the shower.
Oh, yes, Your Honor. Have you ever gotten a perm before, Miss Wyndham?
Yes.
How many, would you say?
2 years since I was 12? You do the math.
You know, a girl in my sorority, Tracy Marcinko, she got a perm once. Even though we all told her not to, curls really weren't the right look for her. She didn't have your bone structure. But thankfully, that same day, she entered the pie cap wet t-shirt contest where she was completely hosed down from head to toe.
Objection! Why is this relevant?
I have a point, I promise.
Then make it.
Chutney, why is it that Tracy Marcinko's curls were ruined when she got hosed down?
Because they got wet?
That's right. Because isn't the first cardinal rule of perm maintenance that you are forbidden to wet your hair for at least 24 hours after getting a perm at the risk of deactivating the ammonium thiocolite?
Yes.
And wouldn't someone who's had, 30 perms throughout her lifetime be well aware of this rule? And if you, in fact, were not washing your hair, as I suspect you were not, since your curls are still intact, wouldn't you have heard the gunshot? And if you, in fact, heard the gunshot, then Brooke Wyndham wouldn't have had the time to hide the gun before you got downstairs, which would mean that you would have had to found Mrs. Wyndham with a gun in her hand to make your story sound plausible. Isn't that right?
She's younger than I am. Did she tell you that? How would you feel if your father married someone younger than you?
You, however, had time to hide the gun, didn't you, Chutney? After you shot your father.
I didn't mean to shoot him. I meant to shoot you.
I knew it.
Oh, my God.
and scene.
Yes.
You were amazing. I, however, was not, but you were awesome epic. Too. You were epic.
You were awesome as Chutney. I love it.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a fun little. I never did like a courtroom scene before. I hope we get more of those because those are like a lot of fun to do.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping our listeners will pick other great courtroom scenes. I'm out of order. You're out of order. This whole freaking system's out of order. That type of yeah.
You can handle that, Drew. Yes.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun. I'm gonna have a lot of fun putting that together. So yes.
Yeah.
So there it was, folks. That was our scene from Legally Blonde, the big courtroom sequence there. Jeanette, any other like closing thoughts about Legally Blonde before we close up this episode?
It's just such a fun movie. I think it's really empowering for women, and I totally wanted to change my hair to blonde after that. I wanted to fully embody blondeness and being ultra feminine. I think you can be a strong feminine woman, and I think the film really embodied that. You can be gorgeous and feminine and smart and still want all the frilly things, but also be hardcore and in a courtroom or just in life or in business. And so I think it's a great embodiment of femininity and or just being a woman. So I think it's a great female driven film.
I'm glad you mentioned something about that too, because Legally Blonde is definitely a feminist movie.
Oh, yeah.
Very much so. And I apologize, you might hear a cat in the background meowing. Cat wants attention, and I'll get to him later. But yeah, Ed, I don't know, did you get a chance to watch any of the sequels?
I did. Red, White, and Blonde, not my favorite.
Yeah.
I think Legally Blonde is the better as a standalone film. I didn't really need to have Elle Woods go to Washington, D.C.
Yeah. I really thought that was a very weak.
It really wasn't necessary. It wasn't terrible. It just wasn't necessary.
I agree. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't needed, because where can you go with that character? The character had a great arc in the movie itself, and you just ended it with that. You don't really need.
Yeah.
It just seemed like I was watching a pilot of a Legally Blonde TV series that was going to happen, and it just even with Sally Field being in the movie, I just didn't really care, because in the sequel Reese Witherspoon is standing up for animal rights, which is good. I mean, it's a great sort of like concept, but just nothing to add to it. And then there's also another movie called Legally Blonde, which is a made for
I didn't see that
was like a made for TV. I didn't see it either. Basically I just saw the covers as two teenage girls. They're now part of a law team. And I'm probably saying it wrong there. It's just after the Legally Blonde, Red, White, and Blue, I'm like, you know what? That's it. I'm done. I don't need to have any more of this. There seemed to be like a trend of like having movies that were really good that didn't need a sequel. It did a sequel, like Miss Congeniality 2. I mean, I enjoyed the first Miss Congeniality. It didn't need a sequel. Anchorman was good. It did not need a sequel. So just it's like this trend of comedies. But yeah. So what's coming up next for you, Jeanette?
What's coming up next for me? I'm gonna keep doing the daily devotional, and I'm gonna be working on getting myself back into my writer's chair and get back to work on my blog, aka Jeanette.com. I've watched a gazillion movies and I haven't written one word except for Fat Man. I think the last review I wrote for aka Jeanette.com is Fat Man, which I loved it. I loved it so much. I loved that movie so much.
Very cool. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen Fat Man. It's on my watch list. I will definitely check it out. I did see other movies at the time. I do recommend Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds and Jodie Comer.
Yes.
That was a very fun blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Also would recommend The Suicide Squad. I saw that. That was a lot of fun,
yeah.
Crazy James Gunn action. I said before, it's like Warner Brothers gave Troma like a big ton of money and said, here, make yeah. a superhero film. And they did.
Yeah.
And I kind of love it awesome. Just for that. The Green Knight is a very beautiful looking movie. And I found it engaging, but others may find it kind of like dull. Pig.
I need to see all of those.
Yes. Pig with Nicolas Cage, also a very good performance.
I saw
that. Not my
very good. I saw it. It was really good.
I enjoyed that one. Not my favorite Nick Cage performance. That would be for Willy's Wonderland.
Yeah, a little different.
Mm-hmm. Pig was different, but yes, I would say that it's good. And I like the I kind of laugh when people say that, well, Nick Cage is back to making good movies. I'm like, Nick Cage has always made good movies. He's never.
Yeah. Yes, he has. He's been consistent.
Never has gone anywhere. Nick Cage didn't come back. Nick Cage was always here.
Right.
But hey, do have one big news to announce here, and I can do this here. We just reached, Cinema Recall just reached over 8,000 downloads and plays.
What? That is awesome! So congratulations!
I'm very thankful to everyone who has played our shows or downloaded them. That makes me feel very happy, and I can't thank you enough. But the main people I am going to thank here on this episode is our wonderful Patreon subscribers. That's right. If you're a Patreon subscriber, you are going to get this episode ahead of everyone else, and you're going to get some bonus content as well. And so, in no special order, I'm going to thank our Patreon subscribers. I'm going to thank Jason Soto from Whatever with Jason Soto. I'm going to thank Donnie Roberts, formerly of Teach's Kiss, now of Videorama Pod. Thank you very much, Donnie. I'm also going to thank his sister, Linda, formerly of Teach's Kiss, now of Videorama Pod. She also has a podcast called Bed Knobs and Broom Flits. I'm going to thank Matt and Ashley from Mashley at the Movies. Check out their latest episode talking about the recent remake of Candyman. I'm going to thank my good buddy, Chris Revel of Let's Chat with Chris Revel, and also Let's Chat Media, and of course my special guest here tonight, the beautiful, talented, just all around amazing woman, Jeanette Miller-Mickenham. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. You're amazing, and I love spending time with you and your show.
Well, thank you very much. So yes, folks, as far as like new episodes come, here's the thing. I just started a night job, and I don't have time to really record shows during the week. The only time I have available is on weekends. Now, I'm also playing in three bands right now. And
oh my gosh.
Trying to have time to do the bands, plus Cinema Recall, plus I edit episodes of Real Spoilers Podcast. I do work for Let's Chat Live, and also I'm doing upcoming work for Forza Crowd Podcast. All this stuff going on there, it's really hard for me to post episodes each and every week. So you are going to get content on here, but it just may not be every week. So come check us out on my Instagram, Cinema Recall Podcast. Check us out on Twitter at @cinema_recall. Join our Facebook group called Crack, Cinema Recall's Awesome Cinematic Club. We're going to post content on there. I'm trying to put more things out there. And plus, we have several episodes in the past catalog that you can listen to and replay. So big thank you to everyone for helping us reach 8,000 downloads. That is amazing. Love you all dearly. And we will definitely be back for another episode with myself or with myself and a guest. I'm not quite sure exactly what that's going to be, but I appreciate the support very much. Jeanette, please tell my listeners again where we can find you online.
Online? Well, you can still read some past reviews on akajeanette.com. I believe that's my handle on Twitter. And, yep, aka Jeanette. And then on Instagram, I'm JM Mickenham on Instagram. And that's where I do my daily devotionals. And holy mackerel, I didn't realize you were in three bands on top of all of that. So I miss being in a band. Oh. I wish I could be in a band, but... You're amazing.
If you
are amazing.
If you lived closer to me, I would totally have you be in a band. We'll come to you, and we'll start a band.
Oh my gosh, I would be begging. I'd be like, even if I lived close to you, I would be like a groupie begging to be in the band.
We'll make it work out there. Before I do close out here, I do want to let listeners know too that even though we're not posting as much new episodes on here, I'm going to be an upcoming guest on the It's Time to Rewind podcast. My good friend Bubba Wheat, he's doing a podcast all about Groundhog's Day and each time loop that happens in the show. And I'm going to be on the later episodes where Phil tries to kill himself, and I'm going to be on a weekly series with that show. So It's Time to Rewind. Find Bubba Wheat on Twitter at Flights, Tastes, and Movie Nights at Bubba Wheat. Yeah, and then also I'm going to be an upcoming guest with Ryan Luis Rodriguez on the Clueless Chronicles, talking about Grease 2. And then I'm going to be an upcoming guest on the Lambcast, talking about the movie The Orphanage. So definitely check out those. I will make sure I post them when that airs. And anyways, folks, that's it. I hope you all enjoy your day. I love you all very much, and take care. Bye-bye.
This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.